Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam, wishing you a very happy Labor Day weekend, and I'm just so blessed that you would spend your Sunday here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And as always, you better have your cup of joe, and I hope you got your Bible out. And today, I want to do something a little different. I want to provoke you to a fight. But before we finish up our series on More Than a Conqueror, just a couple quick reminders. Number one is this. We have begun to meet weekly here in person at our church here at 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains / Parsippany, New Jersey. And listen, if you would like to come and attend one of our services, if you just go to our website, encnj.org, we actually have a sign-up seat. Unfortunately, due to CDC regulations and best practices, we can only fit 50 people in our building safely. So the first 50 get in for our live services. But I want to encourage you with this. We are going to continue our online services exactly as they are now, so we can meet virtually or you can meet in person. And as well, we're going to do once a month, we're going to do an outdoor worship service. And so, listen, we're meeting in multiple venues and in places, but we are one church family. And so, secondly, here's the second reminder. I wanted just to remind you, September 15th, we're kicking off our Purple Book Discipleship course. It's going to be virtual, and it's going to be, it begins at 7 o'clock at night till 8. It'll be 1 hour. It'll be a little bit of teaching, a little bit of discussion, and a little bit of Q&A. And so here's what I need you to do. I need you to get your Purple Book. And so if you don't have one of these yet, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and there'll be an Amazon link where you can order one. I believe they have it in Kindle form now as well. If you can't afford to get the book, please email us at info@everynationnj.org, and I will make sure that you get a book, all right? And lastly, here's what we want you to do. We want to buddy up with other people. Jesus sent the disciples out in two, and we want each of you to go through the book with somebody, both as an accountability tool and as well possibly in a way to evangelize friends. Just to invite them to come do this Purple Book thing alongside of you, and you watch what God will do. And so if you haven't yet, please register for the Purple Book discipleship course. Just go to our website, encnj.org, and all the information should be there. Now I just want to roll into our tithe and offering here this morning. And before we do, going to grab a little cup of joe. And so here's what I want to do. I want to start with our scripture would be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And the Apostle Paul says this to Timothy. He warns him. He says this, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." And so with that as our backdrop, this just highlights the importance of the tithe and the offering section of our service. See, so many things are taking place as you tithe, as you give back to God what He has given to you. Do you know you're worshiping God, that you're honoring Him and placing Him first, that God says this, that you're preparing Him to open up the windows of heaven to pour out a great blessing. But here's what I want to emphasize today. Do you know you're guarding your heart against the love of money? So I heard this really crazy story. Do you know, his name is Jim Becker. And Jim Becker, I believe, is the oldest inductee into the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. But he never played. So this guy was a fan, and I think you'll agree after you hear what he did. So Jim Becker, he couldn't, as a young man, he couldn't afford Packer tickets. And so what he found out that if he was to give blood, that they would pay him a small sum of money, and then he would just consistently give blood on a regular basis, get a little bit of money for it, and it afforded him to be able to buy Green Bay Packer tickets. And so he did this, wait for it, for over 23 years. He would give blood, save it all up until it was Packer season, and then he could afford to go to the Packer games. But here's where it becomes kind of fascinating. Is did you know that Jim Becker, later in life, he would be diagnosed with a blood disorder. It's called hemochromatosis. Hemochromatosis. And what that means is he has elevated iron in his bloodstream. And the only way to treat it is to give blood on a regular basis. And so when I heard that story, I thought it was just so amazing. Like, his passion for the Packers caused him to give stuff away, which is in fact saving the man's life. And listen, I feel like that's a good illustration for us in the tithe, that as we give, we're giving to God and blessing him and enjoying him, but as well, what? We're guarding and protecting our very own hearts, because God called us to love him and to use money, not to love money and to use him. And so God bless you as you give. As always, there's three ways to give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and click on the giving icon, or you can give via PushPay. It's our texting platform. My family and I give this way, and just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. And as always, you can mail in your tithe or offering to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. As always, God bless you as you give. And now it's time this Labor Day week, and we just say we roll into the message, because I want to provoke you into a fight, provoke you to your next level in God. So a little story. I was reminded of the story of, occasionally the armed forces would go into local schools, and the four divisions of our armed forces, they would give a presentation in the hopes of getting high school students to recruit them to be a part of their department. And so this particular high school has had their gathering in the gymnasium, and students are everywhere, and they have 1 hour till the bell rings and the students are dismissed. And so, listen, the Air Force guy is going to go first. And so each division of the armed forces is given 15 minutes to speak. And so Air Force guy gets up there, and he's got the pyrotechnics and the Top Gun theme songs playing, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And that's going on. And he does his Top Gun thing, sunglasses, and he bids people to become part of the Air Force. Well, Air Force guy, you went 5 minutes too long. And so then after that, the Navy guy gets up, and Navy guy, he starts whether it's not just a job, it's an adventure. And he starts highlighting the Navy SEALs capturing Bin Laden and references all these Navy SEAL activities. But Navy SEAL guy gets a little carried away too, and he goes for 20 minutes. And so finally, listen, he's like, the principal's like, listen, you got to clean up your time to the Army guy, because there's not going to be enough time for the Marine. And so Army guy's, listen, I'm getting my 15 minutes. So Army guy keeps it tight, Army strong, that type of thing. But still, the principal, finally, it comes time for the Marine to give his presentation. The principal very apologetically says, listen, there's only 5 minutes left in this assembly. The bell's gonna ring and these kids are out of here. And so I'm so sorry. The Marine is unfazed by it all. And the Marine walks up to the microphone and is silent for 4 minutes. And he just pans the crowd, his eyes just kind of looking through and peering through everybody, until finally, with 1 minute to go in the assembly, he says this, I see three, maybe four of you in this entire building that could cut it as a Marine. He says, I'll see you immediately after the assembly. Boop! Alarm goes off, and guess what? Everybody went to the Marine guy, because they loved that someone would challenge them, provoke them to become more than they currently were. And listen, that is what I want to do to you today. I want to provoke you to greater faith in God, because we know this, that God has called you to be a hyper Nikeo, more than a conqueror. And that's been just our theme throughout this time. And so what I'd like to say is this, is that God has made you more than a conqueror, but you're going to need something. Is this, you're going to need faith to overcome, faith to win the victory. And so 1 John 5:4 says this, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our faith." And so I want to talk to you about faith today, and I'm going to highlight four heroes of the faith. And here's going to be our 4 points. I know I'm violating the pastor rule. You're supposed to only have 3. We have 4 today, all right? Deal with it. And our first point is this. We're going to look at first God, or God first, all right? And we're going to look at a character by the name of Abel. Then we're going to look at find God, and that is a character by the name of Enoch. And then we're going to talk about fearing God, and that's going to be with the character Noah. And then finally, we're going to talk about being a friend of God, which is, of course, the patriarch Abraham. And so that's where we're headed this morning. Lord God, give us grace as we look to increase our faith. First point here, let's look at our man Abel. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and Abel is going to display for us the reality that God comes first. First God, and then everything else falls into place behind that. And so Hebrews 11, starting at verse 4, it says this. It says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts through his faith. Though he died, he still continues to speak." And so if you're not familiar with the Bible, Cain and Abel, the descendants, the children of Adam and Eve, and if you remember what happened, both Cain and Abel, they gave an offering to God. It says that Cain, he just brought an offering, but Abel, he brought the first and the fat. For us, that doesn't mean anything today, but just think of it this way. He brought the first and the very best to God. And so you get Cain gives God his leftovers, or what he could kind of comfortably budget out. And what does Abel do? Abel gives his very first and his very best. And so, listen, if this is an important kind of virtue to understand, to strengthen and gird up your faith, is it has to be God first. Like, right prioritizing our life with God at the center is unbelievably critical. And listen, I know, as like when life gets crazy and big, there's moments in our life when our priorities get way out of whack and it becomes foggy as to what's important and what's not. But occasionally there's moments in our life when we're confronted with our mortality and things become crystal clear. I was reminded recently of US Airways flight 1549. This is January 15th back in 2009. The US Airways flights 1549 is taking off out of LaGuardia Airport. You'll remember this, and you remember the captain Sully Sullenberger, and not Tom Cruise, who played him again. But not him. And so what happens, US flight 1549, it takes off, and suddenly the engines go out. One engine goes out, then the other engine goes out. And you can imagine there's a passenger by the name of Rick Elias. He's sitting in the front seat, and he says, "This eerie feeling that comes over you when suddenly the hum of the engines goes silent." And he says, the only thing then he heard after that were these words come over the loudspeaker, "Brace for impact." And if you're not familiar with the story, we get the miracle on the Hudson where Sully Sullenberger, he lands the plane on the Hudson River and everyone survives. But Rick Elias, the passenger on the front row, he said this. He says, when you hear the words "brace for impact," he says, what's really important becomes crystal clear in that moment. And here's my challenge to us is this. In a world where all these things are vying for our attention and for our affection, can I just submit to you the primary thing is your relationship with God. am I right with Almighty God? Listen, when you hear those words, brace for impact, you think you give a rip about your bank account, what kind of car you're driving, what kind of home you're living, what someone said about you on Facebook? No. What you care about in that moment is, am I right with Almighty God? It is the primary thing. So I love C.S. Lewis. He says this. He says, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it can never be is moderately important. Did you get that? Like he says this, if Christianity's false, then it's of no importance. But if it's true, it's of infinite importance. And listen, the one thing it can never be is moderately important. And yet I feel like that there's a large portion of the body of Christ, followers of Jesus, that Jesus is just moderately important, and he's not deserving of our first and our best. Listen, in the book of Exodus, God is going to say this, the firstborn belongs to me. In the book of Joshua, the first conquest in the land of promise, Jericho, belonged to God. He says this, the first commandment that God gives is this, is you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, I am primary. I am first and foremost. That Jesus, when he walked the earth, he says, if you have anxiety and cares and concerns of your life, he says, you're not prioritizing your life properly. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so listen, if you're going to be more than a conqueror, Jesus can't be just some kind of add-on to your life. He must be primary. And so for me, I know personally is this, that God, he's primary in my finances. Like that the first bill I pay, so to speak, the first one I pay is my tithe. And everything else has to fall into place underneath that. Do you know that God, he gets the first of my day. The first thing I do, well, the second thing, because I get my cup of joe, all right? But the first thing I do is I start my day in prayer and in the word of God. Why? Because I want to prioritize God in my daily walk with him. He is the priority. And so is God first place in your life? You got to answer that question this morning. Number two is this. I want to look at Enoch. Enoch had the ability to find God anywhere and everywhere. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. It says this of Enoch. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. And now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and get this, and that he rewards those who seek him. And so Enoch is this mysterious character we read about in Genesis 5. But yet he makes the hall of fame of faith, the heroes of our faith. And here's what it says that Enoch did. That Enoch, it says he walked with God. It's a metaphor that means that every waking moment of his life, he did it with the Lord. And it says this, that God, he's going to reward those that seek him. And so I think the question you have to ask is, listen, is God just part of your life, or is he a part of every waking moment of your life? So quick story. I remember years ago, I was playing for Team USA, and we were playing over in Germany, I believe. We were in the World Championships at the time, and we were actually on the bus ride over to the arena, and we were playing in one of the medal rounds. And so as we were driving over, guys were really nervous before the game. And so I was the Jesus guy on the team. You don't always win cool points for that, but listen, when you're desperate, you're going to reach out for God. And so it was funny, the team captain, Eddie Olchek, he yells out to me in the front of the bus. He knew I'd be reading my Bible. He says, hey, Ads, he says, would you read us one of those psalms before the game? And so I'm, yeah, sure, Eddie, I'll read you a psalm. And but then it was funny. There was so much intensity around this particular game that that Eddie asked him, hey, let's all say the Lord's Prayer. And it's amazing how most of the people that, even if you don't have any relationship with God, you can kind of spit out the Lord's Prayer. And so we kind of said the Lord's Prayer. And then the moment we said amen, then suddenly every other word in there was God's name, but it was used in a different fashion. And so these guys are blue blankety blank. We're going to kick these blankety blank. And it's like I had to just pause for a moment and just be like, hey, guys, you know God's still here, right? Like he didn't just leave the room when you say amen. Like God is still here. And I think that's my appeal to men and women of faith. Like, do you know that God is just not the God of Sunday, Christmas, and Easter, but he is the God who's always with you, that he never leaves you, never forsakes you. And Enoch had the ability to find God and connect with God no matter where he was at. And so you need to avoid the practice of compartmentalizing your faith with Jesus, that Jesus is here with me in the mornings, but when I go to the office, it's just every man for himself. Or Jesus, it's, listen, my sex life is for me, and then Jesus, you can have all the rest of the stuff. That's not how it works. We want Jesus to be a part of every single aspect of our life. And so there's a Christian classic book out there. It's called The Practicing of the Presence. It's written by a monk. His name is Brother Lawrence. I'm sure many of you have heard of it before. Not sure if you read it. It's a real quick read. Good read, but sometimes it can feel like really difficult to live out, because here's the gist of the book of this is that this monk, Brother Lawrence, he determined in his heart, I never want to know a waking moment outside of the presence of God. And listen, he would fail at it, but some days would be better than others. But he was noticing that more and more that God was taking more and more priority in his day. And so whether he was in the monastery or peeling potatoes back in the kitchen, he felt the presence of Almighty God. In fact, he had this quote. Tell me if this doesn't blow your mind a little bit, that Brother Lawrence would say this. He says in his journal, today, I've had such delicious thoughts of God, I am ashamed to mention them. What? Delicious thoughts of God. I'm like, I don't know about you, but I don't even know what to do with that, right? But it was somebody that was experiencing the sweet presence of God in the most ridiculous of places. Why? Because God is with us everywhere. And Enoch found the ability to find and to plug in with God no matter where he was at. It was said of Brother Lawrence, the good brother could find God anywhere. I remember Jacob. Jacob, in your scriptures, he found God in the wilderness. And he made this statement, the Lord was here and I didn't know it. Do you know that Moses, he found God in a burning bush, that Jonah found God in the belly of a whale. And so where will you find God in your daily walk? Listen, I pray that you find him as you're driving in your car and you connect with God, like your car becomes a place of worship. I pray you find him at your job and you're so filled with the presence of God that you become what God talks about, the light of the world where you're at. And here's the great news. As you find God and seek for God wherever you're at, here's his promise that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I'm reminded of another C.S. Lewis quote. Forgive me, I'm a Lewis nerd. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, your real new self will not come as long as you are looking for it. He says it will come when you are looking for him. I don't know if you caught that. So here's what Lewis is saying. That when you're, he says, when you're trying to become your new self, like you become a Christian, you're trying to be a good person. He says, you'll never find it that way. He says, how you find your new self is by pursuing him. And so I see people that are new to Christ and they spend all this energy trying not to sin rather than trying to love and pursue and chase after Jesus Christ. What would happen if you take that energy and point it towards pursuing Jesus? Here's what I promise you is going to happen. you're going to fall in love with Him, and that love is going to be transformative for your life. And so here's a question. Are you a person that can find God no matter where you're at? You know, the name Enoch, it means dedicated. That Enoch was someone dedicated to God, whether he's in the field or in his home, in the morning or the evening, he was dedicated to God and found God everywhere. Can you find God where you're at? Here's number three is this. Noah, he feared God. He feared God. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 7, it says this of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And so we see that Noah, he moved in reverent fear and obeyed God, despite the fact what God was asking him to do seemed insane. Like, number one, do you know that it had never rained on the earth before? And so why would he build this boat? And for the record, it was hundreds of miles away from the nearest body of water. And it was like 100 times the size that he needed. And so it seemed insane. Yet, in fear and reverence of the Lord, Noah got to work. And so, listen, I think we can agree there's ridiculous fears out there. All right. Well, this is where you get to participate in the chat box. All right. Anyone got any ridiculous phobias out there? Like you'd be embarrassed to say, but here's one I think we might all say amen to. The latest phobia is this nomophobia. Nomophobia. Do you know what that is? That's the fear of not having your cell phone. Is that a universal amen that everyone was afraid of that? I thought so. Listen, I believe we're raising up a new generation of phobias. And that is germophobia. Through this pandemic, I know with all our sanitizer and all this stuff, it can become overwhelming. Here's another one, geniophobia. Have you heard of this one? Geniophobia. It's the fear of chins, which as I start getting older, I'm afraid of getting multiple chins like I am. Here's the last one is this pantherophobia. Pantherophobia. It's the fear of mother-in-laws. And for the record, I do not have this because my mother-in-law is watching this broadcast right now. Love you, Mom. All right. Listen, so there are some ridiculous fears that we need to do away with. How many know this? There's some fun fears. It's why we do roller coasters. It's why we go to haunted houses. It's why we go, you fill in the blank. Like when my wife and I go on long trips and she falls asleep, here's what I'm inevitably going to do. I'm going to jerk the wheel and scream, ah! Like that, and give my wife a small heart attack. See, for me, that's a fun kind of fear, okay? And so there is a fun type of fear. But seriously, is this, you know, that there's a type of fear that's good and right because it'll keep you safe. Listen, there's a woman, researchers just referred to her as SM46. SM46. And SM46 is a woman. She has 3 children, and she has this rare disease. It's called Urbach-Wieth disease. And what it is, it's the hardening of the amygdala. And that is the thing by which we process fear in our brains. And so this woman does not have the ability to feel fear. It sounds like it would be an amazing gift, when in reality, it's a curse. That this woman, she doesn't have the ability to feel fear. So when researchers presented her with snakes and deadly spiders, she thought it was cool and it was fun. That on numerous occasions in her life, she's put herself in deadly situations. She's had a knife to her throat on several occasions, and she was also beaten nearly to death by her first husband. And so we see all these things. Why? Because a healthy fear can keep us safe. And listen, because she didn't have the ability to protect herself, they felt it necessary to protect her identity, SM46. Let me read to you what Solomon in the Proverbs says. Proverbs 10, verse 27, Solomon says this, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. And so we see this, that there's a healthy fear of the Lord that will keep us safe and keep us on the path that we need to be. I've heard it said this way, and I think it's such an amazing quote. The fear of the Lord simplifies life. The fear of the Lord simplifies life. Like, listen, if you have a healthy fear of God, then can I, when things are gray, should I, shouldn't I? Listen, if you fear God, you're going to avoid that. I'll just put it in earthly terms. Listen, when I was a little kid growing up, man, I was afraid of my dad. Listen, you know, I got good grades in school growing up. And the reason why I got good grades was not because I gave a rip about education. It was because I was afraid of my dad and bringing home a bad report card. Listen, there was as well a place of transparency and honesty. Listen, I've had over 500 stitches. I got a whole bunch, like 50 screws in my body. I got numerous surgeries, so all these different things. But you know, as a little kid, I was a coward and terrified of needles. Like, it was embarrassing. So I remember when I would have to give blood, they would have to call in 4 nurses in order to draw blood from me. And finally, one time I was getting older and my father had had it up to here with his son being a coward. And so I had to give blood and he was kind of pumping me up before we got there. And then I sit there and I'm trying to do it, trying to be tough. And then I remember the nurse went to stick me with the needle and I went to scream. And then all I saw standing behind the nurse was my dad. And my dad he gave me that one like that. And I was like, and in that moment, I was more afraid of my dad than I was the needle, and it broke that thing off of me. And so listen, the fear of the Lord, it can simplify your life and keep us on the right track. I'm going to talk to the men this morning. Men, we've said this before, but David, King David in the Bible, he's cooler than you, all right? Don't worry, he's cooler than me too. Like David, he was this man's man. Fellas, did you know that women, they sang a song about him? They said that Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Like, I don't know, do any of you have chicks singing songs about you? If you do, you need to put that in the chat box for me, all right? I need to meet you. It says this, do you know that we have guys in here, you're outdoorsmen, that you go hunt animals and stuff like that. David killed a lion and a bear with his hands. Top that. See, David wins. David is cooler than you and me. That David, as a young boy, he slew the giant Goliath of the Philistines. He felled their champion, and then he led the armies of Israel in the rout of their enemies. David is just cooler. And so, men, here's where you need to pay attention to me this morning. Do you want to know the secret to David's success? David says this in Psalms, or the Psalms, chapter 34 in verse 9. Here's David's secret to success. He says, "Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, you have no lack." You lack nothing. Those that fear the Lord, they lack nothing. And that was the secret to David's success. And so there's this false idea that in the Old Testament, God was grumpy and grouchy, and so you just better run for cover. But in the New Testament, now suddenly, you know, Jesus is just soft and cuddly, and he's just kind of the love fairy, whatever you want. Yes, 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 love, love, love. But you haven't been reading the scriptures very well. Because if you've ever read the life of Jesus, there's moments when people were terrified of Jesus. Like there was this great storm on the Sea of Galilee, and as it's raging, the disciples are terrified, we're going to die, and they wake Jesus up, and what does Jesus say? Quit it! And the storm stops, and you know what the scriptures say after that? It says they were more afraid of Jesus in that moment than the storm, because who speaks to storms and they listen? That there's a scene where Jesus is being approached at lightning speed by a man possessed with 6,000 demons, simply called Legion. 6,000 demons running towards Jesus, but as they get to around Jesus, the demons tremble. That man drops to his knees, and they say this, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" right? And so Jesus doesn't feel all soft and cuddly in that moment. Do you remember in the book of Acts, the early church, Ananias and Sapphira, they lie about what they put in the offering basket. And the apostle Peter says, why have you decided to lie to the Holy Spirit? And the Bible says something crazy. They drop dead. What? And so that can be pretty terrifying. And then if none of that moves you, I'll put you to the book of Revelations, where it says this, that Jesus, when he returns, he's got fire in his eyes, that his robe is dipped in blood. He's got a sword coming out of his mouth, and his tattoos on his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, listen, to rob yourself of a healthy fear, a respect, an awe of who God is to rob yourself of worship, is to rob yourself of the lordship of Jesus Christ, and to rob yourself of the ability to obey God. And so the fear of the Lord is a good and right gift from God. Listen, if you lack the fear of the Lord on your life right now, I got the solution for you. You need to act like a king. Act like a king. If you're familiar with the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, it says this, it commands that every king of Israel was required to make a handwritten copy of the scriptures. They had to handwrite the scriptures, and then they had to keep them on them at all times. And it says this, it says that they might read it every day, and catch this, learn to fear the Lord. Isn't that crazy? Like, as we read God's word, we get a healthy fear, a reverence, a Mufasa, say it again, right? A fear of the Lord upon our life. And here's point number four, is we're going to talk about Abraham, the friend of God. See, because not only do we reverence and fear him as God, but there is this place, this maturity in God, that is this, a friendship with God that leads to great, great faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And so if I was to just kind of parse out one kind of highlight of the life of Abraham and his faith was this, is that Abraham, he always obeyed quickly and immediately. And so, for example, we just read it, that God calls Abraham out of his homeland. And it says this, that he went the very next day. That it says this, that God is going to ask Abraham to circumcise himself and his male servants. And it says this, that same day Abraham did it. Listen, I don't know about you, but if God asked me to do that, I'm going to need probably a couple days to be disobedient on that one. Not Abraham. Abraham, it says that same day he did it. And then the pinnacle of asks from God, he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac to me. And it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, gathered up his son, and went off to Mount Moriah to what? To obey God and sacrifice his son. Spoiler alert, he doesn't kill his kid, okay? And so listen, see, how can Abraham with seeming ease follow God in very, very difficult situations where it would be hard to believe and to obey? I would submit to you is this. The book of James is going to say this of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. And so this idea of friendship with God empowering his faith. And so, listen, having been both a son and a father in my own life, I'm a daddy of daughters, and I've also been a son. So having done that, I've been able to see that there's an immature form of obedience, and that immaturity does it out of fear. But I've also noticed that then there's a mature obedience that is motivated out of love. And so if I can just kind of like re-highlight my dad, like my father, remember I used to be motivated as a young child out of fear for my dad. But you know what? There's come a time now where if my dad asks something of me, I'm happy to do it. It brings me joy to do it. Why? Out of love. So, listen, in this day and age with all our media and, man, the news has been just so depressing and overwhelming. Sometimes, you know what I like? And this is the time of confession. Sometimes I just like watching like one of those Pixar movies. You ever watch some of those? They're not a movie. They're like animated movie, okay? They're a cartoon. But I love it. It's always like feel-good stories. And so here's what I want us to pull something. I want to pull something out of this. So Pixar has made billions of dollars, and really what they've harnessed is they've done this. They asked this question: what if blank had feelings? So for example, they've answered the question: what if fish had feelings? And what movie did they make? Finding Nemo. Here's one: what if toys had feelings? And then what movie did they make? Toy Story. Let's keep going here. What if cars had feelings? Hence the animated feature Cars. What if bugs had feelings? You get the show A Bug's Life. And in fact, it culminated in this one. Do you remember this one? What if feelings had feelings? And it's the animated Pixar movie Inside Out. And so here's what I want to challenge Pixar with, and I want to challenge you with this morning. What if God had feelings? And I want to tell you this: God does have feelings. See, God, He wants to be in relationship, friendship with His people. You know, going back to the illustration with my father, I can remember I was not quite a young man, but I was no longer a boy, and my dad, he asked me, he had all these papers he needed to do some basic math accounting for. It was simple math, but it was going to be time consuming. And so my dad said, he says, son, would you do this for me? Would you just add up these numbers? Here's the calculator, and just make sure that they're all right and proper. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I'll do that. And then it was fun for about a minute. And then I can remember as things went on, I was like, oh, there's so much. I don't want to do all this. And finally, I just pretended like I was done, and I gave him back. I said, here, Dad, did it. They're all good. And then my dad, knowing it should have taken me an hour and it took me 10 minutes, he looked at me and he said, he asked me, did you really look through all of those? And it's amazing. It's so many decades ago, and I remember so vividly. Like, I just remember going and telling him, no, Dad, I didn't really do it. I just got too tired of doing it. And there was something that was, for the first time in my life, I was expecting my dad to be angry and for me to be disciplined over it. But instead, I had seen something I'd never seen in my father before, that it hurt him. And then he just said, okay, and he walked away. And I'll never forget that feeling inside of my heart. It changed some things on the inside of me. And that, too, is a perspective then that we get with God. Here's my dad. He's caring for me, putting a roof over my head, paying for my education, and he asked something of me, and yet I was too busy to do it. And so many of us, we do that with God. God, He sends His only Son to die on our behalf. He feeds us, clothes us, fills us with air in our lungs, and yet when He asks something of us, oh, it's just too much. And so let me read John chapter 15. Starting in verse 13 through 15, it says this in verse 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Did you catch that? Like Jesus says, man, I'm going to lay down my life for you, and I'm no longer calling you a servant. Like, I don't want just tasks to be done on your list, but rather I'm going to call you a friend, because I'm going to ask some things of you, and would you do it out of the motivation of love? And so listen, friendship with God, it's a great honor, but it's also a tremendous responsibility that we would take this seriously, the great love by which God has loved us. And then we focus our life to obedience to God, that we might love Him back. And so Here's just kind of my last point, and we're going to pray and say amen. But I didn't want to leave without saying this, because friendship with God, what it does for us is this. It says, see, if I know the who, then the what and the why aren't as important. Does that make sense? So in friendship with God, as I get to know God and we grow in our relationship with one another, if I know the who, then the what and the why of the ask of God, like what he's asking me to do, is not as important, as long as I know the who behind it. And so share just this last story. You know, it's funny, I've been the Jets, New York Jets season is kicking up again, and I can still remember the D lineman, Kenyon Coleman, who was with the Jets a number of years back. He had come to one of my church services in Manhattan, and he's a mountain of a man, like big yoked up arms. And listen, I always say this, if you can bench press three plates, I'm going to come and see you. And so I went and saw Kenyon Coleman. I didn't know who he was, but I knew he wasn't an accountant or someone like that. No offense if you're an accountant. But anyways, I asked him, I was like, bro, what do you do? And he wouldn't tell me what he did for a living. And so he stuck around afterwards, and then he came up, and apparently he liked the service. So he said, hey, my name's Kenyon Coleman. I'm with the New York Jets. He says, we need a chaplain. You should be our chaplain. And so just a long story short, they actually did like American Idol for chaplains, and I wound up getting the gig. But here's what I'll say. And by the way, we always say this, you need to pray for the Jets. You can root for other teams, but you need to pray for my New York Jets. But Kenyon, he was a ferocious man of God, and he would spend the off season in his home in Dallas. And listen, when you're a big time football player, you can afford to do this. And so Kenyon brought in one of the premier worship leaders at the time. Her name was Kim Walker. I believe she's under the Jesus Culture label. And Kim Walker, she wrote this song, I Surrender. You can Google it later. Powerful song. But in it, as she's at this gathering at Kenyon's home, before she sings the song, she gives the story behind I Surrender All to You. And here's what she says, is she shared that early in life, her mother had been married several times, and those many of those men were abusive. And so she had a lot of knots in her soul and wounds from that season of her life. And in fact, she often would have the question, why God? Why did you let that happen? And so she became a Christian she grew in her faith, and she saw her gift to lead worship. But she still had this gnawing, nagging on the inside of her. Why God? Why God? Why God? Until she finally came to her point when she realized she could go no closer to Jesus until she either surrendered or got the answer. And here's what she says. She says this. She says, I was suddenly able to let go of all my why questions. She said this, because I wanted Jesus more than I wanted the answers. And that's when she penned the song, I Surrender. And so, see, when you know the who, the why and the what are no longer as important. And so let me pray for us. This morning, I'm going to ask you one thing before I pray. So we have our 4 points today, and I'm asking you to consider, and may you ask the Holy Spirit, which one of these four areas of faith you need to work on. Like, what is the Holy Spirit putting his finger on this morning? And I'll just refresh you so do you have faith to put God first, like Abel? Do you have faith to find God wherever you are, like Enoch? Do you have faith to fear and reverence God, like Noah? And finally, do you have faith to become a friend of God like Abraham? And so I don't know which one of those areas are for you, but I pray that God reveal it to you now as we pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time we could gather together around your word. Lord, I thank you that you have made us more than a conqueror. And Jesus, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that even now with the hearing of my words, Lord, that men and women now, Holy Spirit, that you're putting your finger on certain areas of individuals' lives, Lord, that they need to turn over to you, Maybe there's some of you that you need to put God first. Some of you, you need to just let go of why questions. You know, some of you, you need to get into the Word to develop a healthy reverence of God wherever you're at today. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you do a work. And as you do it, that you're going to raise us up to be hyper-nikeo, more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Listen, God bless you, Every Nation, New Jersey. Sure love you. Hope you're having a fantastic Labor Day weekend. I want to remind you that that we have our pastoral team are going to be available for virtual hospitality at 11 a.m. this morning. And immediately following the broadcast today, there will be a Zoom video conference call number that you can call in and actually video chat with one of our pastors. Also, if you need prayer for anything at all, at 11 a.m. this morning on our Facebook Live page, you can pray with a live virtual prayer counselor. God bless you and sure love you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.